Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week, live from Los Angeles, California. Well, it's not really live when you're listening to this. We're not, like, doing live radio. But in Los Angeles, California, it's Greg Karam. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to be here.
As promised, we will be doing, not daily, but podcasts after each Mets playoff game, which was a better idea in theory before they announced two post 9 p.m. start times.
Yeah, not so good for you East Coasters.
No, we tried to record last night at around 1:30, but I was basically dead, and my computer was also basically dead. So instead, we're recording, what is it, 8 a.m. out there in Los Angeles?
Almost
8 a.m. in Los Angeles. So one of us was going to be a wreck one way or the other when we recorded this. But we will soldier through, and we will start with an opening question. Last night, at the Mets post-game press conference, Jacob deGrom pranked Daniel Murphy by lowering his chair while he was talking to the press. So if you could prank or punk, as the kids say, Greg, one Met, who would you prank and what would your prank be?
I think I'd want to prank Matt Harvey, just because, you know, sometimes it's just like, you know, fuck Matt Harvey a little bit.
It is a little bit sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'd take like his post-game clothes, because, you know, he's very fashionable. So I would take his clothes and maybe I'd soak them in water or something like that, or that's probably what I would do.
That's a good one. I think I'd replace all his like Axe body spray. You know, he does all like the Axe stuff with like the most like old man cologne, like Aqua Velva, like the most old man cologne I could come up with.
That would be good.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm going to prank Michael Kadire, because sometimes fuck Michael Kadire, especially when he's misplaying balls in left field repeatedly.
Yeah.
So he's a big magic guy, obviously. Mm-hmm. He does magic tricks. So Penn and Teller have this cool little bit where they do like they show you how they do the trick, and it's a woman's song, a half trick, obviously, but then they sort of turn it around and have it look like they screwed it up when they put her back together, and just like blood spurts everywhere. So it's like a double reverse. So I do that with Michael Kadire. Like David Wright's like, oh, you should totally cut me in half to like psych up the team before the playoff game starts. That'll be like the big like pregame in lieu of like a big speech. Michael Kadire sawing David Wright in half. I don't know why this would inspire the team, but for the purposes of this discussion, we'll go with that. So he like saws David Wright in half, everything's going normal, and you get to the spot where suddenly blood starts spurting out and he doesn't expect it, and everyone panics. And
yeah, and if it gave him a real scare, that would make me happy.
It might also kill him. I don't know if his heart could take it. He literally looks like he's 50 years old out there.
Yeah,
in every way right now.
Oh, it was bad.
I will say the best thing about DeGrom doing that to Murph is Murph was like legitimately annoyed, because he was in the middle. Like, if there's any other situation, Murph would have found it funny, but Murph was talking about hitting and how he hits, and like the like offense, like at bat and approach stuff, like in the middle of that, you had him like really annoyed.
First time I watched it, I couldn't tell what he was doing. I thought he was like touching his leg or something, and Murph was like, "Oh, no, don't do that."
So you were obviously out there for the game. Can you give us some live impressions?
Well, there were a lot of Mets fans. I mean, not a ton of Mets fans, but there were plenty of Mets fans. At least there were enough around me that I could high-five people after Murphy's home run as the stadium fell awkwardly silent. It's a beautiful stadium. It's kind of just up on this hill, but I think part of the issue is that like it's up on this hill and then it's like down in like a ravine. So there's no wind. So you're sitting there, it's like 95 degrees, there's no wind, you're just like sitting in the stale air, it's like, it's hot, put it that way.
Are you really complaining about going to game one of the NLDS and watching the Mets?
I'm trying to let you know what it was like.
I was sweaty.
I'm trying to let you know what it was like to be there.
Give us some color, okay.
Yeah, so, but everyone's pretty nice there. And then my impression of the game itself was like, I thought Kershaw was out pitching DeGrom for most of the game. I kind of look, you know, because DeGrom was kind of falling behind, whereas Kershaw was just kind of mowing him down. And when that homer from Murph came off the bat, it was just so shocking. Especially because it was Murph, you know, it's Kershaw. But it's just, you didn't think that, and no one could make any contact at all to the outfield. And then he gets into it and just gives it a rope into right field. It was really shocking. And it sucked the wind right out of the stadium. And all the energy just kind of got sucked out. And then you heard the smattering of Met fans giving themselves high fives.
I thought it was such like a Murph thing, that home run, in a way. Because, of course, I tweeted before the game, or like I think right after he struck out in his first at bat, that it was more defensible to bat John Mayberry Jr. cleanup against Clayton Kershaw than Daniel Murphy. But it's just like, Murph will just, every once in a while, he's going to just absolutely pull a fastball and hit a mile. And it doesn't really matter who the pitcher is or what the situation is. Just every so often, Murphy's going to do that. You can't predict it. You can't predict baseball, Susan. But
yeah,
he just got a fastball out over the plate and decided he was going to try to pull it instead of like serving it into left center field.
Yeah, he put a charge into it. And I guess you could say that throwing the lefty lineup out there, you know, just good players, with the exception of Kadire, it really kind of worked out last night, especially with Granderson having a good game. I think he got on base three times, maybe. That two or three times. Yeah. And I think Duda had a hit and maybe a walk in that big inning. So, and then Murph. So it worked out with the lineup, I think, for the most part.
I mean, I think Granderson is sort of the most defensible left-handed start in this game, just because you know he's going to give you good at-bats.
Right.
But he's going to, I mean, yeah, he's probably not going to do a ton of damage against Kershaw. He did have that one pretty hard hit ball back up the middle, but his other hit was kind of a little dink over the shift. And
yeah,
he's at least going to battle. Duda's going to give you good at-bats. I mean, Murphy looked terrible and then just, like, yanked a fastball.
Yeah.
And they got another, like, fat fastball, I think, in a later at bat and just popped it up. So, like I said, it's Murph. You just don't know what's going to happen at any given time.
Yeah.
But I think overall their approach against Kershaw worked, despite, other than Murphy's home run. They didn't really even threaten until the seventh inning. Basically get him out of the game as soon as possible strategy. I mean, even if it's in the seventh inning.
Yeah. Well, you saw early they were going after first pitch fastballs, which I agree with, because once you get down on Kershaw, you're in trouble. And it was just very apparent when you're there. Just every time they were down and behind, fastball, and then you're getting hit with that slider and that curveball, which are just devastating.
Like, I watch a fair amount of Clayton Kershaw starts, between my father being a Dodgers fan and Clayton Kershaw starts being appointment TV generally. Yeah. But it's like, even, it just, I'm always, like, somewhat surprised by how good the slider is. It looks like a fastball the whole way, and then just, it's so late, and it's so down. It's like late and tilt down.
Yeah.
You have no chance. Like, it looks like it's just a fastball boring in, the guy should be able to turn on, and then he just swings over it. Everyone just swings over it.
I didn't have a good angle of it, but the swings that they were taking on that pitch were just very ugly. And you could tell that because it was that pitch that was like 89, 90, and they looked very bad on it.
But in the end, Greg Karam,
yeah,
Jacob DeGrom outpitched him.
He did.
Sort of.
Well.
So the thing about the DeGrom start
No, not sort of. He definitely outpitched him.
Yeah, I guess. I guess, you know. He gets the W in the box score at the end of the day.
DeGrom didn't walk